Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Tonight in the gospel, we hear about a leper. And I remember I may have told you all about my experience in the elementary school talking about the gospel with the lepers. And I talked about the gospel for a while, then I changed the subject a little bit, and one of the kids raised his hand and says, "Father Mike, what about the leopards?" You know? And so, you know, we're not talking about the spotted animals. We're talking about people with a contagious and deadly skin disease. And I'll get back to the lepers in just a second, but I want to go to the second reading for just a moment. In the second reading, it's hard to understand the second reading because there's a greater context that it's in. St. Paul essentially says that whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. And he wrote this letter to people that lived in Corinth. And Corinth is a Greek city, a city in Greece. And so many years ago in Greece, they worshiped a lot of false gods. They had those Greek gods that they would worship, or Roman gods in this case probably, because the Roman Empire had taken over. But nonetheless, they had temples to these gods, and they would offer sacrifices to their gods. And then they would take the animals sacrificed in the temples and they would sell them in the markets. And so the Christian people were concerned. Are we allowed to eat this meat that's being sold in the market? Are we not supposed to eat this meat that's sold in the market since it was sacrificed to this God? And the apostles, in the Acts of the Apostles actually, give pretty clear instructions that you're not supposed to eat animals strangled or sacrificed to idols. And Paul mitigates that instruction just a little bit. And that's this part of the letter. This is what he says. Whether you eat or drink, and the implication is whether you eat or don't eat, whether you drink or don't drink, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God. Avoid giving offense, whether to Jews or to Greeks or to people in the church, to the church of God. If you eating that meat is going to scandalize or offend somebody, don't do it. If not eating that meat is going to scandalize or offend somebody, like a Greek that you're trying to evangelize, then eat. Whatever you do, don't do it for the glory of God. Now, I want to ask you this question. That's the principle. We have these Christian principles that show up in our gospels and in our lives and in the doctrines and dogmas of the church over and over again. And one of them is present right here in bold. Do everything for the glory of God. Do you ever think about your life in that context? That everything that I do, everything that I want to be, everywhere that I want to go, everything is for the glory of God. Do you ever think that way? Like, if I'm going to go to this parade today, it's for the glory of God. If I'm going to go to the football game, it's for the glory of God. If I'm going to spend my time practicing this or studying that, ultimately, it's for the glory of God. Because that is what our Lord wants us to do, is to have everything that we do go through this context of the glory of God. Now, we're going to get back to some very, very, very fundamental elements of Christianity tonight. Why were we created? Why did God make you? What's the point of our existence? I remind you tonight that God created you that you would share in His glory, that God created you out of love. God's overflowing love, He wanted to share His very life and His essence with His creatures, and so He created you and me that we would share in His life and in His love. That's why we are. Now, there is a little monkey wrench in that plan for us to share in the life and the love and the glory of God. And what's the monkey wrench that got dropped into that plan? What is it? Remember what it could be? Short little word. Sin. That's it. That's right. Sin messed up the plan, okay? But there's a remedy. The remedy. Jesus comes to give us the remedy. Sin, especially in the Old Testament, is manifested in uncleanliness of the body, and especially disease and death. And leprosy was a wonderful, or I shouldn't say wonderful, leprosy was a very clear example of the results of sin. Sin, the wages of sin is death. And leprosy, first you were disfigured. You got these sores on your body, and they were pustules, and they would drain and all of that stuff, and you would have general bad health, and then ultimately you would die. And along the way, you were excluded from everybody and everything. So leprosy was this very clear indication. It was kind of a manifestation of sin. Y'all with me? And so we read about leprosy in the first reading today, and we get some procedures. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent. That means torn. He'll have to wear torn garments. He will muffle his beard. He will have his head bare. And if that's not enough for you to identify the person as a leper, what do they have to yell? As soon as they get close to somebody, they have to yell, "Unclean, unclean. Stay away from me. I'm contagious." And that was their lot in life. Separated from family, separated from friends, literally outcast. Literally. And then Jesus enters the story. Jesus enters the story. A leper came to Jesus, kneeling down, begging him, "If you wish, you can make me clean." It's a very important line in the gospel right here. Moved with pity, Jesus stretches out his hand, touches him, and said, "I do will it." What is God's will for us to be clean or unclean? I do will that you be clean. And so Jesus touches the leper. Now, ordinarily, what would happen in that situation is Jesus would immediately become unclean. But that's not what happens in this case. What happens is the cleanliness flows from Jesus into the leper. And he is cleansed. Jesus, rather than being made unclean, cleanses. And that, my brothers and sisters, that is the essence of the good news. Sin separates us from God. It puts us outside of the camp. It cuts us off from God. And a point that I failed to mention a moment ago was another very significant thing about being cut off by leprosy was you weren't allowed to go to the temple. You weren't allowed to fulfill your religious obligation. You could not properly worship God. And so now the man is touched by Jesus. He's healed. And he says, "Go show yourself to the priest. Go to the temple. Go be seen." And he can go back and he can worship God. In baptism, is the first time God reaches out his hand and touches us, and we are made clean by the touch of God. We are adopted sons and daughters. We are heirs to the kingdom. And this is a great gift. Now, why were we created again? We were created to know God and to love God and to serve God. And to know God is to love God. And to love God is to want to serve him in our neighbors and to give him glory with our lives. There's a lot of misinformation about God in the world. Sadly, God is taking a beating in the modern world. But we hear a little bit about how God loves us in the gospel today. See, sin is a reality that we're all aware of. We should all be aware of the reality of the brokenness in us. And Jesus comes not to condemn us for our sins, but to heal us of our sins. He reaches out to us and he touches us. And this is where listening to the gospel gets a little more complicated, a little more challenging. What's the situation? At the beginning, the man is a leper. He's outside of the community. He's isolated. He is away. Jesus goes to him, touches him, heals him. And what happens to Jesus in the story? Were you paying close attention? Did you hear what Jesus' situation is at the end of the gospel? I'll reread it for you. He spread, that is the leper, spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. And he remained outside in deserted places. So Jesus touches the man, heals him, reconciles him to the community, and then takes his place as an outcast. See, this is God's plan for us, that Jesus takes our place, that Jesus touches us, takes our sin away from us, puts it onto himself, nails it to the cross, dies for our sins, takes our punishment upon himself, and he makes this evident to us over and over again in the gospel by healing the blind, by healing the deaf, by healing the leper, by being condemned as a sinner, by suffering his passion and his death. And then in each one of our places, rising up to the Father. So that, my brothers and sisters, that's the good news. That's the good news, that Jesus comes to heal us of our sin, to take upon himself our brokenness. Now, it should be our goal in life. And I ask you to meditate on this. I ask you to think about this reality, that the cross signifies Jesus taking your sins. It should be our goal in life to remain reconciled to God and to try to spend our lives, whether we eat or we drink or we go to the parade or we stay home or we study or we read or whatever we do, in everything that we do, that we keep in mind giving glory to God.